distributors were sending me information on the solar flare activity. It only reached M-class strength. And I'm here I am, previous orbit cycles, we've had X-class flares. I'm expecting the X-class flares to kick off, and they just haven't done that. So I was dismissing the M-class flares, and I was acknowledging the Martian dust storm and the magnetopause reversal, saying that they were too early. Really didn't understand what was going on, but the month of April, we had 31 new volcanic eruptions, and that must be something near a record. 9 for 2 of those weeks, and 7 another week. Extremely high values. This week, we only have 4 new volcanic eruptions. So that's an indication when you're going from such high levels down that we're already in the low period. There's so many of these indicators saying that we're already in the low period, even though I'm reporting right now for week 13. But the reporting period for week 14 ends this Saturday. Remember that we track our earthquakes from Sunday to Saturday for the chart. We've been doing that from the very beginning. So I open up Earthquake 3D and I look. I don't even see a 6 magnitude earthquake. And it looks like that we're going to have none for week 14, along with none for week 13. No large magnitude earthquakes for this amount of time for this part of the cycle is absolutely impossible unless the black star is already behind us. What it looks like, according to my descriptions down here, I'm going to looking down through the seismic chart. What it looks like is Vanuatu, the 7.0 Vanuatu quake that took place on April the 28th. That looks like and it's in week 12, by the way. So I'm wondering why we're having this big 7 in week 12. Haven't had that in the last two cycles. Cannot imagine why we were getting a 7 magnitude earthquake in week 12, but that wasn't supposed to happen, and I think that's why it did happen, because Earth passed between the Sun and the black star, pulling the magnetic portal connections, causing the portal-portal cross-firing. That's when those connections get too close together. The portal-to-portal cross-firing, the sprite formation, creates those highly charged ionic clouds. They're compressed, squeezed in between the magnetic portal connections, and that's what causes these interplanetary shock waves. Mars being right in the wrong place at the right time, it was easy to tell even last winter that Mars was going to experience this dust storm activity from the converging magnetic portal connections. But the storms began way too early. Well, not, I say way too early, a couple of weeks too early than I had expected. The magnetopause reversal coming early, and then we have this 7.0. So as we were going through this period, I'm looking at the charts, giving you weekly reports, and pointing out the fact that things seem a little strange here, and that's what it looks like the case is. So I don't see any sign that the sun is going to belch any X-class flares. The Martian dust storms are behind us. Magnetopause reversal, it's already behind us. All the indicators I'm looking at right now say that we passed between the black star and the sun in week 12 on April the 28th. Now here's kind of the problem. Last year's alignment event was April 25th, 2015. That's only 3-day difference. We're only adding 3 days. That's only 3 degrees, 365 days a year, 360 degrees in a cycle. So when I talk about degrees, I'm talking about actual degrees. And the Earth came around to come in alignment only 3 days later than it did last year, indicating only a 3-degree move. That really doesn't seem possible, does it? So I created a little diagram that, let me see, I think I have I have a Dropbox folder link here that I could post that. Well, if you open up the newsletter, I'm posting you guys the link, then you can look at the keyhole diagram. There's a link to it inside that newsletter. Whenever you look, it says underneath the seismic chart, it says right now the evidence points to two possible explanations. Number one, right at the bottom of the first paragraph, there's a diagram. link. So you can check it out. What it appears is going on, and it has to do with the magnetic repulsion. I think this magnetic repulsion model is going to answer all of our questions, but we have to work out, we have to fine-tune and find out what's happening. We have a new pattern that is now taking place. And what it looks like is that as long as this black star was kind of coming straight towards the sun, that we had a 188-day cycle in place. That's not possible either for an object on an elliptical orbit unless the object is slowing down inbound velocity proportionate to near proximity to the sun. Now, that's kind of a mouthful, but that means as it's getting closer, this magnetic repulsion is getting stronger and stronger by the cube of the closing distance. So there's a magical point out there where acceleration coming in from the gravitational effect is overcome by the repulsion effect. And that gives this object a keyhole-like orbit. So as it's coming in straight, it's actually going to want to be pushed away. It comes in close, and then like two magnets that you're trying to push together the wrong way, you get that repulsion. The thing is, the black star, the cube distance works for two static magnets. That's not the situation that we have here. We have the smaller magnet in the black star actually siphoning its energy from the sun, making its magnetic polarity strength more powerful as the sun's is getting weaker. That's why the sun appears to be going to sleep, even though it's very near solar maximum, because of the influence of the black star. So what's the value that we use to describe the strange orbit created by this magnetic repulsion effect? And as the star comes around to be more lateral instead of head-on, how is that going to affect the orbit as far as the gravitational effect and its inbound velocity? These are answers that I just don't know. That's what we're going to have to figure out by using hindsight. So what this means, if I'm only adding 3 days, normally this is 12 days. That's the way it's been for the last 5 years. We had 12 days, and it's pretty easy to figure out where our next alignment again, where our next alignment event is going to be. But that was only as long. It appears to be that we've passed that threshold. And now the black star is moving even more slowly left in the orbit diagram than it was. I mean, if we didn't have the Martian dust storms that were predicted, if we didn't have the magnetopause reversal, the collapse, if we didn't have all these major earthquake events, 31 of them, if we didn't have 31 new volcanic eruption events, 9 per week for 2 weeks there in April, if we didn't have all these earth changes, we just went through it, then this case wouldn't make any sense at all. But the fact that we already had, looks like we've already gone through our near-side alignment event, with magnetic portal connections have already been pulled through. We've already had the solar flare activity, just not as large as what I was anticipating. All of the evidence is right there, saying that we've passed between the two stars. That's the leading hypothesis of what's going on right now. So the black star is actually still at the feet of Virgo. It has not even made it into Libra yet, although it has passed beyond Libra from Earth's perspective, because we're going around the sun. So it moves forward in orbit and it retrogrades, moves forward in orbit and retrogrades, depending on if we're on the near side of the sun, moving between the two objects, or if we're behind the sun, 66,000 miles per hour, the black star is much closer, obviously, than the Virgo constellation, so it appears to be moving in the opposite direction if we could see it, if we could track it. That is the explanation number one, and I think the one that is going to be correct. Explanation number two, it's possible, I'll give it maybe it's a diminishing percentage. It was maybe 25% when I first heard of it, when it came from Frank Hagerbeets. If you guys are familiar with him, he's European. He's a contributor to Tarot's 2016 newsletter, and his is the feature article in this newsletter. He goes through his math of how he calculates the 188-day cycle. According to his math, then my May 7th prediction date was too early. He has a window of May the 12th through the 15th. According to his calculations, the black star is still ahead of us in orbit. But the problem is everything that I said prior. Problem is, we've already had the magnetopause reversal in April. We've already had the Martian dust storms in April. We've had the large quake activity in the volcanism in April. So leading up to this near-side alignment event, it's impossible for me to imagine. We're talking about a three-week period for 2015 and 2014 going back in time at the peak of when we passed between the two stars. A three-week period with an insane amount of seismic activity and new volcanic eruptions and things like that that we've already seen. You see what I mean? So since what I'm looking right now, when I look at the seismic chart right now, then no 8-magnitude quakes, no 7s, not even a 6 for a relatively long time. We're going back for quite a while, 12 days. 14 days, almost 14 days. It's actually 12 days exactly, because this period is going to end on Saturday. No sixes. And then we had 24 in week 12. We had 24 of the 5-magnitude earthquakes, and we had the same exact number this week, but that number is half of the average for the last 2 years. That's why it earned a red value. In week 13, this is one of our most active weeks of the cycle. Week 13 is not necessarily the same in the calendar week, but it's the same for relative to the black star, because the new orbit cycle begins almost 2 weeks later each year. So these weeks, when you look at the top of the newsletter, you'll see 3 weeks there. That's week 13 for 2014, 2015, and 2016. Those values should match pretty closely. And when you look at the top of this newsletter and look, you can just see in 2014 for week 13, we had 326 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes. We had 57 fives, 6 magnitude earthquakes. We had a 7 magnitude earthquake, and we had an 8 magnitude earthquake week 13. We move everything later 2 weeks because the black star's been supposed to move that far left in the orbit diagram, so it takes Earth that much longer to come around in orbit. Didn't happen this cycle. But here in 2015, what happened last year, if you compare that to 2014, then we had 233 of the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes, which is it's about 25 above average. 36 of the 5s, but we had 7 6 magnitude earthquakes that week. We had a 7, our near-side alignment quake on April the 25th, 7.8 Nepal quake last year. These are the type of values we're supposed to be looking at this week. We got zeros all the way down to the 5 magnitudes, and only 24 of those, less than half of the average, and then only 217 of the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes. That value should be like 300. So I need more weeks to go by to fill in the chart, but what I'm anticipating is that we're going to see evidence that we're in the lull period already. That is what I suspect is going to happen. Difficult for me to imagine. Now, if this was like week 12 of previous cycles and week 13, we saw a big uptick, then Frank's hypothesis is going to have a good chance of being realized. So if I went to Earthquake 3D right now on Thursday, I should be looking back in time to Saturday and seeing evidence of these sixes and sevens and a big number of five, and it's just not there. So explanation number one, this is less than 1%, but there's a lot of people that believe this thing is coming in 2016. The evidence doesn't seem to support that from explanation number one. Doesn't support that at all. It's got to go all the way over to the left side of Libra before it gets here. May the 20th is the crossing date. That's what I've been using for years. I see no reason to change it yet. So when the Earth is between the section of space, 1.6 million miles, that the Earth travels every year on May the 20th is where the black star orbit crosses. That's what the investigation says right now. So it's possible that Earth maintaining equilibrium is having more difficulty building up the pressure to create these earthquakes. It's possible that just before it gets here that we don't even have large quakes because the magma's pushed up between the plates and they're all lubricated. It's possible that we're going to be surprised. I mean, that's what Scripture says. Destruction comes suddenly like the birth pangs upon a woman with child. It's possible that even I'm going to be surprised when it happens. It's possible that on if we get closer and closer to May the 20th and the black star is still ahead of us, it's possible that we have a geological pole shift. The dramatic variety. I mean, it's, like I said, less than 1% chance looking at the data that I'm looking at. But remember, I'm looking at data from the black star coming in on this relative straight-in velocity on the 188-day cycle. And the 188-day cycle, in my view, according to all my calculations, is over. But that's what should happen when it gets closer. You're supposed to see these red values showing up in my chart when the models are broken. Because the models are telling us, using data from previous years, what's supposed to happen for this year. But whenever it comes in and it begins that deviation in its orbit because of the conflict between the gravitational pull and the magnetic repulsion, I just really don't know how that shakes out. I don't know if anyone would be able to calculate how that shakes out other than using the Earth changes. And it says there was only a 3-degree shift, only a 3-degree movement in the sky, in the constellations, from last year's near side alignment event to this year. So the way that we check that is now we're going to go to outside orbit position. This is assuming that the explanation number one is true. We're going to go right through May the 20th, cross the black star orbit path, and we're going to keep going to outside orbit position. Remember that its velocity has decreased. That means Earth velocity, which is relatively constant, 66,000 miles per hour, it's going 65 to 67,000 miles per hour, depending on which side of the solar system we're on. If we're nearest the sun, it's a little over 67,000. July the 4th, when we reach aphelion position, it's just over 65,000. So just average it out, 65,000 miles per hour. But what this means is Earth orbital velocity, 66,000 miles per hour, moving around the sun, is going to be much faster on this cycle than it was on the last cycle. That means the magnetic portal connection between the Earth and the black star is going to lengthen even more rapidly on this cycle, giving us a more well-pronounced lull period. So if the black star only moved 3 degrees in the sky, then we're going to reach outside orbit position because we know the date we reached it on the last cycle, August the 15th. We're going to reach, if we reach outside orbit position and we have our smallest number, sub-200 number for the 2.5 to 4 magnitude earthquakes in that week, that's going to be a strong indication that this marker position, this April the 28th cross alignment position, is accurate. But we have to go through these weeks in order for me to use hindsight and look back, is what that means. So this could also explain why at the beginning of the year I never reached my sub 200 value for those earthquakes. See, Earth, because the black, as we're coming around the corner, the black star was moving even more slowly than it was on the previous orbit cycle. So we came around the corner and began catching up. The magnetic portal connection was shrinking more rapidly because the black star leftward movement was even more slower. It was moving more slowly than it was on the previous, from any orbit cycle. So in other words, this represents a change in the pattern. We still have two well-defined Earth change uptick periods and two lull periods. But this lull period coming up should be very pronounced. Because as Earth moves away, like I said earlier, the magnetic portal connection is going to lengthen even more rapidly. That reduces the black star electromagnetic potential for injecting Earth with the solar redirected electromagnetism through the black star Earth magnetic portal connection. Now, that's a little bit complicated to try to understand. Basically, what it means is the sun is the one producing the powerful electromagnetism being received by the black star through the star-to-star magnetic portal connection. So that magnetic electromagnetic potential is increasing for the black star as it's getting closer. That's why the repulsion is becoming more powerful. But it has to push that electromagnetism to the other planets through a secondary set of magnetic portal connections based upon near proximity. So if the Earth is closer, yeah, that's why we had the real powerful stuff happening in April, because we were closer. But now our velocity is outpacing the black star even more rapidly than it was on previous cycles. So All we can do now, continue gathering the data. The number of new volcanic eruptions this week, it wasn't 9 like it was in the last week of April, was only 4. We watch for this number to bounce between 2 and 4 through the lulls. What we do. I'll wrap up the report as soon as we get back. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Terrell from Terrell03.com. Today is May 12, 2016. Remember, Revolution Radio is listener-supported. You can use your support at freedomslips.com. Get more information on Project Black Star. We're tracking the invisible collapsed binary twin to our sun. That's what this guy is. And it is currently, I've been saying that it's in the Libra constellation. It is not in the Libra constellation yet, according to current data. We're going to continue monitoring and making the reports. Project supporters for this week include Gina, Matt, and David. They subscribe to Terrell's 2016 newsletter at terrell03.com. Then Anita, Steve, and Robert, you guys renewed your subscriptions. Thank you very much for your support. And a shout-out for Randy and Mike. Mike's been in the hospital, not feeling good. Super subscribers, been helping me a lot in the research, and now they're having problems of their own. So I hope Mike gets back up and at him, and everything is just fine real soon. So I was giving you the Black Star Update report. A little bit complicated to try and explain. Gradually trying to wrap my head more around what's going on here. Need more evidence for that. So that's what we're watching. Like I said, just before the break, then last month we had 9 new volcanic eruptions. If I was reporting on them, and as I was saying, 9 new volcanic eruptions for 2 of the weeks for April, then I'm wondering what's going on here. This is getting like out of control. How can this get higher? How can it get more and more? And the answer is it didn't. That's when we passed between the 2 stars in the month of April. And it makes sense. I should be looking at activity. What do we have here? South Sandwich Islands. 1 in Chile. 2 in New Zealand. This is real strong evidence that the pressure waves that I've been talking about moving around the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire, that they are, that the pressure is relieving. And I've been expecting the pressures around the north, went through Kamchatka, the Aleutians, expecting Alaska, and it just never pushed down through Cascadia. But on the contradictory side, when I look at Earthquake 3D and look at the concentric rings, these circles around the epicenters, they overlap all the way around the Pacific Ocean Ring of Fire, even through Cascadia. So that's not normal. That's not normally what we've seen. And there's no 6 magnitude earthquakes. Absence. No 7s. Nothing higher than a 5 point something. So the pressure seems to be kind of equal everywhere. And without the ability to build up the pressure in the adjacent areas like we've seen in previous cycles. So not... I haven't told you about the migrating magnetic North Pole yet. It's moving rapidly and violently. This thing is covering more distance because it's taking a circular path. That's the Chandler wobble. But that's been very predictable movement for the last 2 years. We had the same 12-day lag in this migrating magnetic North Pole that we had in the seismic chart. It was making things really easy. Now, this thing is moving, when just looking at the chart here, it's about a month ahead of schedule and getting further ahead of schedule. Taking an extreme wide path, and I'm just wondering, before I thought I knew and could make a dot, a little bitty dot on the chart and tell you where it would be 6 months from now. Can't do that anymore. It's racing way, way ahead of what the modeling has indicated. So I'm right with you guys. I mean, I look at it every week, I make the report. No idea where this thing... I know the directionality is going to continue the loop, but it looks like that it's going to cross back upon its old path on the right side of the chart and want to extend even farther on the left side is what it looks like. That's what it looks like to me. So it's another anomaly, another malfunction in the Project Black Star investigation. Things just not going as predicted. But then, remember, that's how it is. That's how it works. things are, as the thing has some distance away and coming closer, things are very predictable. But when it gets on us, there's no experience we've had in previous cycles that's going to tell us what's going to happen next. It's like opening up a door and walking through. And there's indications in looking at my modeling that we're approaching the door. It's the way it looks to me, but not in 2016. I don't see it happening on this cycle. And we're going to watch next cycle. Just imagine if the same pattern continues. Then we're going to have, if the same pattern continues, then the black star is going to move left in the orbit diagram rather slowly. And it's taking its time getting to May 20th. That's what we're doing at right from the beginning. We're watching February 27, 2010, 8.8 Chile quake, March 11, 2011, Fukushima, March 20th, 2012, Guerrero. We're watching these nearsighted alignment events match the May 20th mark. People complaining saying, oh, look, he's got another year. He's adding years, this and that. I'm just following what the science says. May 20th has been our date. When it gets to the May 20th date, our nearsighted alignments, that's when it's here. And moving only 3 degrees, if it moves just 3 degrees next year, we obviously have another orbit cycle, but I don't expect that's what's going to happen. So in the keyhole aspect of this black star investigation, the way that it was coming in straight, now it's moving, it's trying to transition into a relatively circular orbit. I think it's through that transition period, I highlight it in that chart that's in the update report, that keyhole looking chart, when it's going around the keyhole, that's when it's going to really slow down. It's going a lot more distance over the same amount of time, causing it from Earth perspective to slow down. When actually, it could be traveling its same relative velocity, which is decreasing anyway. So from the if you were on the black star, it would be decreasing in velocity, but not nearly as much as the way it looks from Earth perspective. Because of the key, if it's coming through that keyhole, around the corner of that keyhole position, on the next cycle, we're going to find out if it reassumes 188-day cycle type movement left in the orbit diagram. That's going to add 12 days to April 28th for next cycle. That's going to put us, if you just add your 12 days, that's going to tell you that it's going to happen in early May. That gives us room for another entire cycle before May the 20th. If it happens to be only 3 more days, if this thing continues slowing down and we have an event on the first day of May, that gives us 2 more cycles. And I, for the people that want their doom and gloom sooner rather than later, all I can do is tell you that's what the science says. That's the way any investigation is run. Follow the research, gather the data, so you can build a superior predictive model. That's what I'm trying to do here. But if we are going through a transition because of the nature of this orbit, and I turn out to be right, that this is a keyhole type deal. So when this thing comes on around the sun, it's going to have basically a circular orbit around Venus orbit path. If that turns out to be true, that's going to explain the anomaly that we're looking at right now. So the only thing I know to say is we keep gathering the data. We watch for our outside orbit position marker position, and then we watch the backside alignment. Last year, that was, what was that, November the 26th? Was it November 26th or November 24th? It was the 2 Peruvian quakes, 7.6. That was our backside alignment event. Is this event going to be 3 days later like the near side? Or is it going to be 12 days later for the 180-day cycle? You see, we don't know. But by the time we get the outside orbit position, I'm going to have a better idea. Then I'll try to make the prediction of when it's going to be, but the backside alignments have been happening late every single year. Well, since that's not true. That's for 2013 and 2014, they were late. 2015 backed up a little bit, not to be as late, but I'm expecting to see on the backside alignment, I think it's going to be well pronounced like it was on the last cycle. And then we're going to be able to count the days in between our 2 backside alignment events. We're going to have a better feel on what's going on. And we gather that data to predict when we're going to get the outside orbit position in the winter to begin the next cycle. So that's where we are right now on the position of the black star. That's where we are in the investigation. Then Frank's report is featured in this newsletter, And I think this newsletter here has more geopolitical type information. It is not in a geopolitical section because it's being featured in this article and in the top stories. But FEMA is preparing for major separation of landmass. That came in from Lorna. There's a video on that. That's a Tom Lumpshoe FEMA high-level briefing, mega quake swarms coming. I got a feeling that that's going to be delayed. Myself, I'm going to be really surprised if we have high seismicity all the way through the summer. I'm telling you, I'm going to be surprised, because looking at the charts from the previous years, this low period is coming up should be even more well pronounced than it was on previous orbit cycles. The boiling river in Yellowstone National Park is not a good sign. These are the type of stories that we see when we're nearest to the black star. So since in April we passed between the two stars, this is what we should see. But now, if my first explanation is right, then we're going to see these magma levels decreasing. Kilauea magma levels should start decreasing. Magma chambers should start decreasing in their levels of magma. The reason, because the magnetic portal connection between the black star and the Earth is lengthening even more rapidly than last cycle. Earth maintains equilibrium very easily when it's cooling down. That's what I expect to see. I'm moving forward. Then let's see the next story. Oh, yeah, breaking the ice. Officers' suicide note. American citizens will be put into FEMA camps this year. Again, I'm going to be surprised if that happens this year. The reason is because you have to figure that the elite that are going to the underground arc cities, just imagine you're living in a 2012 movie, because you are. And the elite are the ones, if you watch the movie, if you haven't, you need to watch it, 2012. These people with these special cards, these are the cards that get them into this underground. Well, in their case, it was in an ARC ship that was supposed to go out and battle the oceans. That's not the way the elite are doing it, by the way. They have underground ARC cities far from the coast and at some elevation and pressurized, self-contained systems. That's what's going on with the underground ARC city in Denver, connected to the Denver airport. That's why the Council on Foreign Relations went there in 1938. Because they know this thing's coming. That's why the CIA moved operations there. Their headquarters is there in Denver since 2005, even though you don't hear a lot of publicity about it, because they're an arm of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's the real government in the United States. Trump will not be the real leader of the United States. That happens from the Council on Foreign Relations, the chairman. And he works with his two branches, the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs. And the CIA is their means to manipulate the public government in Washington, D.C. So Langley listens to Denver CIA. That's where the stand-down order came from for Benghazi, for example. It came out of Denver. It wasn't created by Obama or Hillary. They were just following orders. Hillary is grinning like a son of a gun because she is following the orders of the CIA that controls Washington. You're just not supposed to be able to figure that out. It's coming out of Denver, not out of Langley. There's an A team and a B team. The B team's in Langley. The A team's over here in Denver. They're the ones that came up with a fake video story. They're the one that gave the stand down order. That's the reason there's such controversy that's going on and why Hillary's going to come out smelling like a rose, because any documentation that's going to get the CIA in trouble will be classified. It will be top secret. It will be because of national security. Expect that that's going to happen. That's the reason that the FBI can't move, because even if the FBI is looking at all the documentation, which they are not, it's going to indict the CIA, because the CIA black op is what killed Stevens in the first place. He was going to blow the whistle on the ISIS gun running, ISIS in Jordan in 2012. That's where ISIS came from Obama, the DOD, and the CIA. That's why Obama's never going to fight against them. He built ISIS for this very purpose. Now you're seeing invasion of foreigners into Europe like we're having here in the United States. Nobody's doing a darn thing about it. Boehner didn't do anything about it. Ryan's not doing anything about it. These are establishment Republicrats working under the puppet government under the auspices of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're the ones that want the illegal alien invasion to continue. Trump... He's just not going to stamp in line, all right? So I'm with Trump myself, because he's going to stick it to the establishment. That's really what it's all about. He's going to bring jobs to Americans, real Americans that are here in America. And I saw Tracy up there say, well, you're going to pick your own strawberries? Nope, you're going to pay a little more for strawberries because Americans are going to pick them. But guess what? 10 years ago, as a bricklayer, I was making over $25 an hour. Now, the same job, they want to pay you $14 an hour. Do you know why? Because of all the illegal aliens running around with trowels in their hands. Carpenters, tile setters, they're taking the jobs from Americans. So Americans can't afford to pay, and then the companies hire the illegals to keep it cheap. You see, it's actually not a good argument that you're making. If I'm back to we're doing my regular job and competing against Americans for a bricklayer job, I'm going to be making a lot more money. Yes, the house is going to cost a little bit more, but the people buying the house are going to be making more money. If you go back to the 70s and see how inflation worked to your advantage, we've had deflation here for so long, partly because of the illegal alien invasion. Just want to get that in there. Not to mention 25 Americans are killed by illegals every single day in this country. That's thousands of Americans every year. And they're talking about the one that got killed over in Iraq. Talk about the 25 that get killed every day by illegals in this country and what we can do about it. All right, so I'm on that side. The only person, the only outsider in the race is Trump, and he's the one that wants to secure our borders. That means jobs for Americans, and that's why I don't care what the guy says. Maybe I should, but I don't. But when I'm looking at Hillary, who I know is guilty of sin, or Trump, there's just really no comparison. There's no choice. You want 4 more years of what you got now? You want the illegal alien invasion to continue to intensify? ICE never to do their job? Border Patrol staring out into Mexico? They're not going to the workplace to round up the illegals that are all using the same Social Security numbers that they stole from an American. They're not doing that. But under Trump, it's going to be a different policy. And that's the reason Ryan doesn't want to support him, because Ryan is an open border lobby idiot, just like Boehner. They're trying to get him to water down his amnesty deal. That's the reason they wanted Rubio in there, because the invasion would continue under any of these other people. Trump's the only one going to stop it. So for that reason, not because I necessarily like the guy or the way he talks, he's going to be my choice and for those reasons. So this, I cannot see this FEMA thing happening, Americans being rounded up in 2016, because the elite create their own threat that way. Just imagine what the lone wolves are everywhere. They're former military, National Guard, former lettered agency operatives. They are everywhere in our country, throughout our country. They're hiding in plain sight. They're right in front of you. You're walking past them every single day. Whenever the misuse of Americans starts taking place, when Americans starts getting pushed into FEMA camps, these are not holding facilities. They are processing plants. This is what Hitler did to the Jews and the undesirables. They use lye, and they use their bodies for fertilizer to feed their new elite race. So if you're sent to a processing plant and you get inside, you go in like a roach motel and you do not come out. They all have gas. And they all have access to railways because that's what they do. They pile the bodies into railways, dump lye on them, and when they get to their destination, they shovel out the fertilizer. That's not going to happen on this cycle, I don't believe, because if you give them 60 days or even 90 days to execute their fail-safe plan, they cannot go much beyond further than 90 days out from this catastrophic event, because then lone wolf is going to deploy, and they only need one lone wolf in their underground Ark City to kill everybody. That's what they're afraid of. That's why they do threat assessment contingency planning through artificial intelligence, to be able to figure out who the threat is to take them out ahead of time. That's what the chemtrailing is about. That's one aspect of the chemtrailing. That is Rothschild, Rockefeller, Gates, eugenics. That's why they're spraying you. That's how the nanocomponents get inside of you. They're manipulated through artificial intelligence in the Underground Ark City, defending the Underground Ark City program. That's global. Rothschild owns it. The banksters own it. They're going to run into it, but they can't. If they run too soon, they're going to create threats. The sleepers that are all around them that are not going are going to wake up and create a civil war, blow their plan. So this must happen, but it's going to happen amid a contagion, quarantine, limiting your movement, those things, my view, they're going to come first. Then martial law comes. Then the power grid is going to be taken down either deliberately or through one of these EMP pulses through coming from the sun, through one of these solar waves that come through. And then they will be able to, the people themselves will ask for martial law, because it's only going to take about 3 days. Mad Max is going to want his food back, and he's going to go house to house to get it. Americans are going to be the ones that ask for the FEMA camps to put in the undesirables without realizing that they're asking themselves to be put there. That has to happen later in the timeline, in my view. So this type of story coming out in 2016 is geared to desensitize you, because you've heard this before. We heard it in 2011, 2012. We're hearing it now. I cannot see, looking at the data, how this happens this soon. This looks like a lazy summer, and we're going to go to outside orbit position. We're going to have the uptick on the backside, and then Trump's going to come in and take over, and there won't be enough time left, apparently, for him to make any real difference. It really doesn't matter at this point, because the black star is that close. I see Thunderbird saying that I can out-rant Hawk. So anyway, I don't see any way that this can happen. I'm running out of time here, and just saying, this newsletter, lots and lots of information, lots of geopolitical information on what's going on with these drills and with the FEMA exercises, Executive Order 13603, National Defense Resources Preparedness, and I think you should get your hands on it, look at some of the information, but I cannot see how it happens this soon. And I'm pretty darn sure through 2010, you remember we went through this contagion with the triple recombinant swine flu thingy. We went through the Ebola thingy. These are exercises for what's coming. There's too much of this in the historical evidence for them not to use a controlled contagion. This is one where that appears to be like a flu, and then it's the first half of a binary weapon. They use artificial intelligence, the same artificial intelligence manipulating the nanobots inside your body right now to kick off as a mutagen, to cause the change, add the amino acids giving teeth to the flu that makes it a super strain. I cannot see them just releasing a super strain, but I can see them giving the first binary half. That's how I see this thing shaking out, and I do not see those components in the mainstream being part of the viral stream that's coming out there. So to me, this FEMA stuff looks like it is geared to desensitize you, so that, oh, we've heard this before and nothing happened type of thing. And here's another one. They're preparing for West Coast carnage as New Madrid awakens. You're going to see more and more of this. See, we just went through the peak of the uptick period. The pressure shifting from Indonesia over to the Americas. You're seeing the even Cascadia subduction zone becoming more active. Pressure being put on the North American craton. In Dutch Sense, I recommend him. He is showing how this pressure is spreading. And but now it's going to decrease. Just pulling out outside our position. Thank you, guys. Get more information at terralo3.com. Thanks to Nighthawk and everybody at Revolution Radio. And I'll see you guys on the next Black Star Update Report.